Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and now Christopher Woodward. Good morning, Chris Plaid Woodward.
Good morning.
So how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Have a good week?
I did, yeah.
I'm digging the plaid.
Yeah. I asked Fred what he was wearing today and tried to copy that.
Fred's two or three times a week plaid, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He loves some plaid.
Plaid. All right. Ed, anything you wanted to say?
Before we move on? Yeah, I would like to make mention of the fact. Folks, by the way, it is kind of late for me to make this announcement, but if you want to watch this show on video, we do have a live video stream. Mm-hmm. You can go to Facebook Live and search for Today's Issues and click through. You can watch us, or you can go to our streaming platform, streaming.afa.net. And I do want to make mention of the fact that here during June, during quote-unquote Pride Month, we do want to make two resources available to you for free. That's right. I said for free. At streaming.afa.net, you can watch for free for a limited time these two videos that we have produced in-house. American Family Studios produced these. Number one is a video titled Practical Ways to Minister to the Sexually Broken. That is with Stephen Black and Laura Lee Stanlake. And the second is the theological error of quote-unquote gay Christianity. That is with Stephen Black and our very own M.D. Perkins with American Family Studios. Both of those are fantastic resources. If you go to streaming.afa.net, you can watch those two for free for a limited time. Also, if you want to buy the DVD versions of that, there is a way to go from streaming.afa.net to our resource center to purchase those. But go on over there to streaming.afa.net, and you can watch those two. You just set up an account there. Very quick, easy to do, and you can watch both of those very important and informative resources.
Chris, go.
Well, one of the things that Fred has me covering, and I've been doing this for a long time now, is to follow energy and environment news. So I brought in a couple of things here that people need to be aware of, beginning with an effort at Toyota, where the Wall Street Journal's editorial board points out that this week, progressive investors are going to be seeking to oust Chairman Akio Toyoda based on his concerns that we are not necessarily there yet in terms of manufacturing and driving electric vehicles. Mr. Toyoda has long been of the opinion that we should instead at least be promoting hybrids and plug-in hybrids and things like that as alternatives to battery-powered EVs. So liberals, in the name of ESG or environmental, social, and governance policies, want to get rid of the head of Toyota, a man who I think knows a little something about making cars. They want to get
rid of his last name is Toyota?
Yeah, it is. It's spelled slightly different. It's T-O-Y-O-D-A, whereas the brand is T-O-Y-O-T-A. I'm not sure why there's a difference. But here's the thing. Mr. Toyoda made news back in December when he claimed that a silent majority in the auto industry is wondering whether EVs are really okay to have as a single option. They're too afraid to say anything publicly or out loud. Apparently, he also emphasized hybrids as alternatives to these EVs that Biden and others want us to push. And they've even gone so far as to send out memos to auto dealers sharing concerns about EVs as far as maybe not having the charging infrastructure there or whatnot. So, progressive investors want to get rid of the head of Toyota based on all this.
Well, that's the way these folks operate. You're talking about ideologues. It is clear to anyone who has any logic involved in their decision.
Usually we say half a brain.
Well, I just wanted to avoid some of these people probably have a full brain and they're still wrong.
Okay.
It is clear we do not have the infrastructure for everyone to switch over to electric vehicles. Okay, we just can't. You just can't do it. There are still a lot of questions about whether or not this is actually the way we should go in terms of the environmental impact and the grid and all those kind of things. But this story is very interesting because like a lot of issues in our culture right now, like the transgender issue, this one here in terms of electric vehicles, the indication is there are a lot of people who don't buy into the politically correct approach, but are afraid to say anything. Mm-hmm. Now, you have people who are involved in the actual science and economics of making vehicles,
right,
who are afraid to say, wait a second, can we at least go to hybrids as a middle step, mm-hmm, before we try to rush to get rid of all internal combustion engines? And they are afraid to speak. This is a very bad place to be for a country because we're not having open discussions on the best way forward.
Mm-hmm. I do have some audio here of a guy who follows energy and environment policy at the Heritage Foundation. His name is Jack Spencer, and I spoke to him today about this Toyota issue for a story we have on AFN.net. Clip 9.
Toyota is the one major car company who is actually responding to consumer demand and not to government dictates. What you see happening right now, what you just described, is the whole ESG movement, the whole environmental social governance movement that's seeped into the boardrooms of America, where no longer is it the intention of corporate boards to maximize profits for those company shareholders, but rather to respond to the political whims of whoever's in power. And it's going to be really detrimental, not just to, you know, our ability to have the cars we want or the stoves we want, but to the economy in general.
Well, I certainly agree. He's with the Heritage Foundation.
Yes.
I mean, I certainly agree. This is a movement that is moving at breakneck speed. And I'm just shocked that even Democrats are allowing the president to go after things like air conditioners and gas stoves. I mean, they under the Obama administration, they went after light bulbs. You remember?
They're still doing that now under Biden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was at least something where you go, okay, I'm not crazy about having to spend and buy these expensive right. light bulbs, which to me, my experience is they don't even perform as well or as long as some of the filament light bulbs. But that at least wouldn't break you.
Yeah.
Now okay. they're trying to go after things that are going to put a real crimp in people's ability to survive.
You guys know, has Biden demanded, and maybe he has, that the motorcade that he uses by the Secret Service when he travels, is that all electric?
No.
Why are you laughing?
Because it's so hypocritical. The people sounding the alarm most over what they call dangerous man-made climate change are the ones contributing to the problem.
So the beast, that is the car that yes. a president uses.
Mm-hmm. Heavily fortified.
That's not electric?
Oh, no. I mean, no.
That might, I don't know. That might be too heavy
that
to go with a battery.
That car probably gets single-digit miles to the gallon based on how heavy it is.
I'm just saying for Biden to promote, come back and see me when you've converted.
Sure.
Your own, lead by example, right?
Yeah. They fly around the world to warn people about their emissions and how we're all contributing to warming temperatures, even though they're the ones contributing to the problem. As a matter of fact, Free Beacon, this is their top story today, and it's more climate hypocrisy. This is the headline from Free Beacon's top story this morning. National Geographic says climate change is the greatest threat to human health. It also flies billionaires around the world on its private jet. And there's a picture of Bill Nye, not the climate science guy, mechanical engineer, not a climatologist. And kudos to the Free Beacon because it does point this out. And I know it's nerdy, but people need to understand that planes on average produce 53.3 pounds of carbon dioxide per air mile, meaning the trip's flights would emit more than 1.5 million pounds of carbon dioxide. To put that in English, if you're flying around on all these private planes, you're contributing to the problem that you're trying to warn people about.
Well, what kind of car was it a Corvette that Biden was talking about when he had his boxes?
The garage gate.
That was his Corvette. What's the gas mileage on a Corvette? What is it, 8 miles to the gallon?
Yeah, I would imagine. Crazy? I mean, 10 miles maybe. On a good day.
The actions of the lefties who say we're experiencing man-made global warming, mm-hmm. their actions belie their words.
Right.
Over and over and over again. And remember when basically John Kerry, who's the environmental czar appointed by Biden, remember when he was famously quoted, they were asking him, he got caught flying to one of these environmental conferences on a private jet. And he said, they said, what about that? And he goes, basically, he said, I'm a very important person.
Doing very important things.
So I'm flying around the world to save the little people who need to use mass transit.
It was the only choice for somebody like me. I'll share the link.
You know, said it before, man-made global warming, I don't believe in. I don't believe in it. If there's global warming, it's nature. And there's what do you call it over time? Cyclical?
Oh, yeah, cyclical.
So we've had cyclical warming and cooling forever.
Frankly, on
planet Earth, I'm talking about.
It's better to have, you wouldn't obviously want the planet to warm quickly overnight, but it's been very gradual over the last 100 years. Most of what I've seen demonstrates that it's far better for human civilization to be warmer than colder.
I'm for that.
People suffer greatly when it's very cold. And if the warming is kind of a gentle slope, that's usually better for people.
I've shared this before on the program, but there is somebody, I think the account still exists. Someone on Twitter goes by Minnesotans for Global Warming. And it's a picture of a flamingo standing on a block of ice that's thawing out. So some people, even in Minnesota, are in favor of
next story, Chris.
All right, Fred mentioned this during the last hour, but for people not aware of it, we have this situation where a dude competing against females in cycling just completely trounced the competition. Austin Killips beat the female there by several minutes.
Where was this race?
It was in North Carolina on Saturday.
It was about 5 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah. Austin Killips, who rides under Nike bikes, finished the tough multi-service race in 8 hours, 28 minutes, and 7 seconds to win the third annual race. Coming in second place was a female named Paige Onweller, who finished 4 minutes behind Killips. I bring all this back because last week, the Missouri governor signed legislation making Missouri the 22nd state in the union to bar males against females in sports. And Missouri is one of those states that wants to do it from like kindergarten through college. Some states are only doing it in K through 12. Some are going so far as to prevent it in college, like Alabama's Governor Kay Ivey, which we sent out an action alert last week. All that to say, I do have some audio here from Attorney Matt Sharp of Alliance Defending Freedom talking to AFN about the growing number of states going so far as to bar males from female sports. Clip 8.
States looking at this issue, number one, know this is the right thing to do. When Title IX passed over 50 years ago, it created so many more new opportunities for young women, especially in athletics. And so these state legislators are ensuring that the promises of Title IX are fulfilled. And they're willing to stand by these laws, to defend them in court. And that's why Alliance Defending Freedom has been so honored to stand with these laws, to stand with young women in these states passing these laws, to defend these laws in Idaho and West Virginia and in other states. And we ultimately know that one of these cases is going to make its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we're hopeful that the court would uphold these laws and reaffirm the importance of protecting fairness in women's sports.
I got to tell you, this August will mark, unless you guys say otherwise, 13 years of me being employed here at AFN. And I never in my wildest imaginations thought when I started here in 2010 we'd be talking about men and women's sports. But here we are.
Oh, I don't think anybody really knew, even thought that or believed it. And there might have been people saying, well, then where's it going to stop? Are we going to have men? And, you know, everyone going, ah, that's a bunch of baloney. But, here we are.
Well, where you're going to – right now, this men playing women's sports and getting away with it is happening in a on the lower end of the sports world. Where you're really going to get run into where you're really going to run into problems – I say problems, I don't know how to express this – it's going to become really more controversial in the public eye when a man decides he can't cut it in professional tennis and he says he's a woman and goes over and plays on the women's professional tennis circuit. Because you're talking about big money,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking about
big endorsement.
That's high profile right there. Or on the women's golf, mm-hmm. or professional basketball. You know, you have a WNBA right now, Women's National Basketball Association. What happens when some guys start saying, you know, we can't make an NBA, but we can dominate the WNBA, and we can make a lot of money
mm-hmm.
doing it.
And the WNBA will not be able to say a thing.
Yeah, because they're not saying anything right now about high school or
they'll have to applaud it. They'll have to be supportive.
And they'll be, which will be their own self-destruction.
Yes.
5 years from now, we could be talking about, let's say, dudes who say they're girls have taken over the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you could be looking at that 5 years from now.
Well, that's why one of the girls who sued up in Connecticut, one of the high school girls who sued the policy mm-hmm. for athletics in high school. She said, one of them said, if I have this right, the right state, she said, I think we're going to see the day when girls are watching girls' sports from the bleachers.
Yeah.
Because men will have taken over.
Yeah, Selena Soleil, Chelsea Mitchell, Alana Smith, and one other young lady whose name escapes me at the moment are the ones in that ADF
right.
Connecticut case.
Yeah. So I'm just saying these high-profile sports celebrities who are ladies, and they're not saying anything about this now because they don't want to be criticized, and yet one day it could be their very own sport that's taken over mm-hmm. by men. And then they're going to wonder, where is everybody to defend women's athletics?
Yeah. There have been some people going, you know, where's all the feminist groups? And most of them are silent. There is that one organization called Women's Liberation Front, which refers to itself as a radical feminist group. But they have partnered with groups like Family Policy Alliance, FRC, and others to say that it's not fair to women. It's a violation of their Title yeah. IX rights. And then you have the tennis player Maria.
Oh, Martina Navratilova.
Yeah, Martina Navratilova. So there are like some, but granted, there's a whole bunch of people out there that are seemingly silent on this issue. Yeah. I tend to think there's probably some people out there like us going, this ain't right.
Well, 25 states now have mm-hmm. spoken out, mostly red states, maybe all red states. All right, next story.
Well, I do want to mention this. There has been a big outcry over the White House flying the Pride flag out front. It's a very timely conversation, given that this Wednesday, June 14th, is Flag Day here in the United States of America. It's a time to remember and honor our flag and certainly all those that have fought for it. Some of those have given their lives. But the White House has caused a big controversy because they've gone so far as to fly the flag on the White House in the middle or in between our two, American flags or
the
what?
The Pride flag.
Yes. And so, you know, a lot of people are in support of this, the LGBTQIA+ community, but certainly there are other people that think this is basically the White House, just it's a bridge too far.
Well, it's a violation of the code for using the flag. There is a code mm-hmm. on how to properly display the
right.
flag, and I read it this morning. And if you have the U.S. flag, the American flag, in a group of other flags, the American flag is to always have prominence. It is always supposed to be elevated. I think it is supposed to be in the middle if you have a group of flags. And in this case, the White House has the gay pride flag, quote unquote, on the same level as two American flags on either side.
Yeah.
And that now, an administration that has done as much to damage this country as the Biden administration, nothing's going to happen in terms of this violation of the display of the American flag. But it does go to where their hearts are,
mm-hmm.
and they have done so much to trash this country, the Biden administration, and the members of it.
Yeah.
They have no problem with insulting the stature of the American flag.
Right, and let's not forget, Joe Biden was to the left of Obama on the issue of gay rights,
yeah.
because Obama, you know, he made headlines back in 2008 when he told Rick Warren and other people about, he wasn't for same-sex marriage and stuff like that. But then Biden supposedly forced him to accept all this because Biden said that he had, and I'm using air quotes, America, evolved on the issue. So Biden was arguably to the left of Barack Obama, who is very far left.
He outed.
Yes.
Basically outed Barack Obama.
Forced him into it.
That was before the 2012 re-election.
Imagine Joe Biden saying something off the cuff that he shouldn't. Yeah, it's hard to believe, but yeah, that is the
By the way, you did mention on a couple of occasions here, American Family News, AFN. Would you tell our listeners what AFN is in case they don't know and how they can sign up to get these great stories that you guys produce?
Thank you very much. American AFN stands for American Family News. It is the news division of American Family Association, American Family Radio. And I'm proud to say that not only are we heard on AFR stations, but we have like 100 or more non-AFR stations that now run our news, which means people across this great country do hear thoughts and opinions from Ed, Abe, Jenna, all the other people that we have on this show from time to time. But AFN.net is our website. It is the website where much of what you hear on the radio winds up in print, but we have a whole lot more information on there. It's not just the radio stuff. We have AP coverage. We've got videos. We've got columns, cartoons, all kinds of stuff at AFN.net. When you visit our website, look in the top right. There's a button that says subscribe. If you've not already done so, please give us your email address. And once a day, you will get an email from our crack staff in the editorial department. It's about five or six stories, things that you need to know to keep you and your family informed. We do not share your email address, so you're not going to be bombarded with things. And our stuff, thank goodness, is not behind a paywall. I hate that as much as you do, America. So, Lord willing, we'll never have to resort to doing that.
Okay. What else you got? We got just a couple minutes left.
Well, I do want to mention gas prices. Certainly, a lot of people are hitting the road for the Great American Road Trip these next few weeks. The national average for a gallon of regular gas today, $3.59. That's up just a bit from this time last month. Thank goodness it's not as bad as it was this time last year when the national average was $5 a gallon.
The national average reached $5 last summer.
1 year ago today, it was actually $5.01.
Wow.
Diesel customers, bless your hearts, you're still paying about $4 on average. But again, that's not as bad as last year when Brent and myself and others were paying on average $5.77 a gallon for diesel.
For diesel.
So thank goodness.
That's your choice.
Well, you could drive an EV if you want to. Ben.
Tim. Yeah. He was quiet for about the last 5 minutes. You decided to throw that hand grenade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's your choice. It's free country.
It's free country. You don't have to drive a diesel.
I bought a diesel back in 2019. It's a diesel car. It's not a diesel truck. And
what's the advantage of – I never had a diesel automobile. What's the attraction / advantage of having one?
I honestly never – this sounds so bad for a consumer. I never paid it any mind as far as it being diesel until last year when diesel was like going
up. I think
the
mileage.
I just liked the car.
What is the attraction?
I think the gas mileage is supposed to be better.
Yeah.
That offsets the smell?
I guess so. I do get 40-plus miles.
That diesel can light you up there.
Well, if you're not careful, it sure can. But actually, I don't think diesel's like gasoline in terms of, I don't know. I'm not going to test.
Flammable, you mean?
It's probably flammable.
Don't try that at home.
Yeah. It's not.
I'm
not
just
as
talking about you get within
kerosene.
50 yards of a diesel.
Yeah. I think the mileage is supposed to be better. I think that's why
you can smell it pretty bad. All right. Well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Ed?
You're absolutely enjoyed it.
I'll wear something paisley tomorrow. Steve's absence.
Is Steve off this week?
He is on assignment this week.
Where is he assigned?
He is reporting from the Southern Baptist
Convention's
annual meeting.
Oh, that's right. Is that
going
on now? Mm-hmm. And, all right. Thanks to Brent Creeley and Fred Jackson and
Abraham Hamilton III.
Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
And we'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Have a great afternoon.